I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Sarah Keewer.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And this is Thank Fuck For That, a podcast in which we hear stories from our guests about the moments in their lives that might have changed everything.
Whether they are huge near misses or small, seemingly insignificant choices, we all have stories that we look back on and wonder, what if?
Our guests will bring us their best thank fuck for that moment so we can delight in how different their lives could have been.
Hello!
Hello!
Hey.
Hello, everybody.
Hello,
we're on
everyone.
Zoom today, so if Sarah's on a massive delay, that's because they've not sorted out any good internet for you guys.
That's so, the phrasing of that is so loaded. I'm so upset. Like, the angle there is like, they don't care about you. I'm out here doing my darndest for our listeners.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. I don't even know if you're pranking
and that's
me
all
with a
we,
delay.
Everyone
now.
Can ask from you.
No, I'm not pranking you. It's you. You've got the delay.
I hate this. I want my finger on the pulse.
I hate this. How are we? How is everybody?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, good. Really pleased with myself today, actually.
Why?
Because we had fish for tea last night, and I'd say every few weeks I forget that fish is smelly, and then we woke up this morning and the whole flat smelled like fish, so I Googled how to stop lingering smells, and it said boil lemons. So then I boiled some lemons and the smell went away, so pretty pleased.
Really?
Pretty,
oh wow,
that's really that. Good
feeling, very smart.
Did you boil them with the skin on?
Yeah, I just cut it into quarters.
Did you chop them up? Did you just put them in?
Quartered it.
No.
Yeah.
Life hack.
Yeah.
Life hack? We're starting with a life hack for everybody.
Up straight in there, out the traps with a life hack.
That's like a BuzzFeed article.
Yeah, I think it probably was a BuzzFeed article that told me to do that. The other one was, it was like three tips. One of them was like, open your windows. The other one was boil lemons. And then the third one was, sort your sink out.
Only one of those is good. One of those is a life hack. Open windows is not a life hack.
I already have my windows open. If I'm Googling, why is it smelly in here and I don't have my windows open, I don't deserve the internet, do I?
Why is it smelly in here and you're just next to like a dead body?
It's in my sink. Sort my sink out and look at the corpse.
Sort your sink out.
Okay. This is great tips on here.
Honestly, anyone, check out BuzzFeed. Wonderful.
Shout out
tips.
BuzzFeed. Shout out BuzzFeed.
Shout out BuzzFeed, actually. Wonderful stuff.
Speaking of websites, somebody's asked for a Wikipedia. An exclusive Wikipedia on the song I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts.
that we talked about last week. Because apparently, and this was the language that the person on Patreon used. I'm going to try and find out who it was. The person on Patreon said Zazu was merely a cover artist. I'm going to find it now.
That's really funny.
Really good stuff. So it would be great to get some information. Yep, Alison Zed. Alison Zed said that.
Zazu was merely a cover artist.
Apparently so.
I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts. There's an original of that?
Apparently. I haven't Googled I haven't looked it up.
Oh, it is. Merv Griffin.
So I'm going to leave you with that, Vicky.
All right, well, get ready. It okay. is a novelty song composed in 1944 by Fred Heatherton.
Do they have coconuts in 1944?
A collaboration of English songwriters. The song celebrates the coconut shy at fun fairs. What is
I see.
A coconut shy?
You never played the coconut shy.
Oh, Mickey, you're really feeling.
None of you know what this
you're
is.
You're feeling very foreign.
I do.
Oh, I do.
It's a great game.
It's a lovely game.
Okay, fine. What is it?
You throw a ball at coconuts, try and knock them off little sticks.
It's very
oh,
competitive.
It's true.
Have you never seen Fleabag?
That is what it is.
Have you never seen the bit in the Fleabag season 2 where they where they're playing a coconut shy in the church, Mickey?
I mean, I've seen Fleabag season 2 so many times and I don't remember this bit.
The bit where he has a coconut and he's like, and she goes and she leaves with the coconut, and then the priest comes back and he's like, that's I need that back for the coconut shy.
Yeah, I do remember that bit.
Yeah. And then he says it's morally dubious because they're not even real coconuts. That's what they're playing.
Oh, yeah. And they're playing a coconut shy.
Great Fleabag.
I like the bit where he goes, kneel.
That's all right. I'm quite impressed. I was managed to pull out a coconut shy reference that quickly.
That is amazing.
He's like, I haven't remembered a single detail about this because I just think about the bit where the priest says kneel.
Yeah. That's the best bit. That's the best bit. Excuse you. Okay, so guys, I just want you to know that this has a large recording history that I don't want to get into completely. But here it says where it like appeared. The song appeared in I Could Go On Singing, which was Judy Garland's last film. A portion of the song appeared in Disney's 1994 The Lion King, sung by the character Zazu, voiced by Rowan Atkinson. Nicolas Cage sang part of this song in National Treasure, Book of Secrets. And Ringo Starr sang an impromptu version of the song in Magical Mystery Tour. I mean, this song has really got like
a rich life.
Just a sort of large... Yeah, and it's mostly just been like people being like, we must cover this.
I think it's just a real earworm. So like somebody like Ringo would just be probably just got it stuck in his head and is like, fuck it, I'll sing it. It's a great song.
I want to know what they sing in the Dutch version.
Do you think what's the word for coconut in Dutch?
Kokosnoot.
Of course. Why wouldn't it be?
Kokosnoot.
Why wouldn't it be?
That's so stupid. Okay, drink your kokosnoot milk. We have a guest this week.
Such a good guest this week.
Back on the admin. Back on the bookings. Very exciting. Which is why
back
we're on
Zoom.
Back
on the bookings, despite absolutely everybody being like, we don't want it.
Please don't do it. We ignored you all. We ignored it. No. But we're going to do more of us and more guests. We're going to just, it's going to be a feasting platter of podcasting.
We're going to alternate. You're going to get a guest, and then you're going to get the three of us, and then you're going to get a guest.
And it's going to be too much. But if you like us chatting amongst ourselves, head over to Patreon because that's all we do over there. That's all
we've
got.
That's all we do.
We do literally nothing else.
Honestly.
So our guest is we're on Zoom because he is in Glasgow, So this is a remote recording. He's amazing. Very, very funny guy. Talented comedian, podcaster, actor, jack of all entertainments. Please, welcome to the stage.
To the Zoom stage?
Yes. Christopher.
MacArthur Boyd.
MacArthur Boyd.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, it's me, Sarah. Thank you so much for listening to Thank Fuck for That. If you're enjoying the podcast, please sign up to our Patreon to support us. We need some help making it. We're doing it all by ourselves. So please sign up, even if it's just £3 a month. That would make the world of difference. Thanks so much. Here's the episode.
Hello, Chris, Christopher.
Christopher MacArthur Boyd is here.
Christopher, please.
Christopher,
please.
Okay, start that whole thing again.
No, Sarah, come on. No second takes for you.
Christopher MacArthur Boyd is here. Yeah.
I don't have enough syllables in my name, so I like to have just a few more.
It's a very involved name, isn't it?
Yes. One of my greatest regrets in life is allowing myself to have this long a name that I didn't at some point step into my mum and dad's plans and say, hey, wrap that, you know?
Do you think, I feel like you've still got time. We could figure this out today.
100%.
There's been fringe posters up and, you know, passports made and it's just, that is what it is at this point. I would love to have a different name.
Chris MacBo. Is your new name?
McBo?
McBo.
I don't think McBo. The E at the end of it was the issue, really, the YD at the end.
Well, there you have
but,
it.
But it's good to keep the Mac in there, you know, for the Scottish kind of heritage. For
you don't Scottish want anyone getting confused.
Yeah. I don't think anyone, I mean, to be fair, you would open your mouth and be like, yeah, Scotland.
He's from Glasgow, 100%. He's got fucked up teeth. And this place is weird.
The moment you smile. Yeah, that guy's from Glasgow.
You have nice teeth. What are you talking about?
They're a wee bit yellow, but they're a good shape, I think. That's what I say to my dentist when he moans at me. I say, they're a good shape.
Surely you don't say it like that because he'll have his fingers in your mouth.
It's a good sleep.
Yeah.
And he loves it, you know. Dr. Zish, he loves it.
Dentists love putting their fingers in your mouth, don't they?
I was thinking about this the other day. Like, see if you're a dentist and you don't get off a wee bit on putting your fingers in people's mouths. It's kind of like people who work in a shoe shop who don't have a foot fetish.
It's a long day, isn't it?
You must, on some level. I hope that you're getting off on this, because otherwise that's no life for a living thing.
I worked in a shoe shop. I did not have a foot fetish. Okay. And I actually really, the opposite. I hate feet. Like, I really hate them. So I kept volunteering to, like, work the warehouse shift. Mm-hmm. And they just... But I didn't want to be like, because feet are disgusting and I hate this job.
Yeah.
You know, because
you're not a team player if you start saying that in the shoe shop.
Yeah.
It's rare to have a situation where you have like a warehouse, but all the perverts are out front.
It was a very non-pervy warehouse.
Option.
Yeah. It was just me.
Yeah.
Everyone's just being really relaxed and everyone feels really safe. Like the lights are all on. It feels really bright and welcoming.
Yeah, and I kept saying like this is a safe space, even though we didn't have that language at that time.
Yeah, but the shop floor is just like dark and people jizzing everywhere.
Comfort Schlesinger trainers, yeah.
That'll be a slip hazard.
Oh, it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wooden thing.
So thanks so much for doing this podcast, Christopher.
Yeah, sorry for bringing up the idea of foot fetish.
No, no, we're on jizz immediately and I love it.
Oh, we yes-anded you all the way to jizz.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you. This is a podcast about life-changing moments. Do you linger on the past? Do you linger on the moments that changed your life?
I'm a real past guy. You know, I'm always kind of staring out the window thinking about what could have been and what was.
Really?
And the shifting sands of time just going down that hourglass constantly. That's what I'm focused on. So, yeah.
Oh, you're like really philosophical about it. like the thinker, like that statue.
That's a big influence on me. I'm recording this in my bed because there isn't a good spot in my living room for my microphone to get clipped onto. So I have to put it on my bedside table. But if I was sitting on a normal chair, I would be in the position of the thinker by Rodin.
Wow.
That's your default position.
That's real cool.
Do you have like a particular idea of what life should be? What it was meant to be for you?
It should just have been a wee bit better, I think.
Yeah. I see that.
Like, not different at all.
I see that.
No, but just generally a higher quality. Less sad stuff happening, less boring stuff happening.
Is it
so
mostly
boring?
Just you should have somewhere to sit?
Yeah, I should have a obelisk or a plinth that I could sit on and really get some fucking thinking done.
Yeah, all covered in white.
Preferably if I was completely white from head to toe, hair to shirt. Oh, he doesn't have a shirt, does he? But I would be a kind of shirted version of the thinker. I think he's not really modest enough, that guy.
Okay. Is he naked, the thinker?
He's pretty naked, like.
He's fucking rocking the vibe.
I'll look it up.
please, don't Lucas, can up. You look it up?
He's like, you know.
I hope I don't have to turn off safe mode to do this.
It just seems to me like maybe he's got ADHD.
You think everyone has ADHD?
Yeah, but he's got out the shower, he sat down on his bed, and he's having a real good zone out. You know what I mean?
Oh, you think he's like procrastinating?
We'll go back and have a look and he'll have a damp towel underneath him.
You're right, he's completely naked.
Yeah.
He's completely naked, but no towel. He's sitting on a rock, which looks quite uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Maybe he's
This is Christopher.
He's crushed his balls by sitting down on his...
But it's quite classy. He looks quite classy when he sat down.
Did you say he's crushed his balls? And he doesn't want to get back up again.
It's like when you get stabbed, it's better to leave the knife inside than to pull it out. It's the pulling out of it that's really the issue. So he's crushed his balls, but he can't decompress them.
He's waiting for the paramedics. Yeah.
That's what the thinker's about.
Has he got his head in his hands as well? That would make sense.
I've done it again.
The only thing he's thinking about is how he can stop doing this.
It's bold.
How can this happen to one guy this many times?
I need to get diagnosed. Because there's just patterns occurring here
I can't believe we've gotten to balls. Crushed balls so quickly after we were like, all right, reset. And
all right, foot fetishist, crushed
reset,
balls.
Reset, then it took like 2 minutes.
Also, amazing. I just feel like whenever you put crushed in the front of anything, it makes it sound sort of like sophisticated and delicious. There's something about saying crushed balls. It's like, that's a delicacy. Mm. It's a new way of doing balls.
Can I have some crushed balls in my Negroni, please?
Okay, so you do dwell.
Yeah.
You're a big dweller. Have you ever had a big near-miss experience? This is question two.
I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, how early could you go back? Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like when I was a very young man.
Kristen's gonna go jizz again. Because when I was just a little jizz,
it was very competitive in there.
It was a near miss, you know. I could have been one of the cums that didn't make it.
So easily, yeah. You can go all the way back, Christopher, whatever you want to do.
It's your life.
It's your time.
Here's a story. It was my big cousin, not my biggest cousin, but my bigger cousin, Daniel. It was his birthday. And for his birthday, we were at a soft play creche.
So this is young. Because you said young man earlier, but I'm going to assume young child.
I was five.
Right.
Ish. I was quite young. And it was a soft play. And then we were having, do you know when children are in bad restaurants, like cafeterias and museums and stuff? They always have that kind of fake Happy Meal boxed meal. It's like not a Happy Meal. It's not got any chips in it. It's not got any like chicken nuggets or burgers. It's like bits of carrots and fruit shoots. And there's always a really kind of sad orangutan on the box for these for these awful boxed meals. It's like non-branded.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Is this what you got at the soft play area?
Yeah, this was like after it was like in this shopping centre. It's called the Forge Retail Park in Glasgow. It used to be where they built bombs in World War II, and then they turned it into a cinema and a kind of wee shopping centre. And
this is like not at all what my soft play experience was like. After after soft play, the one near my house where we used to go on birthday parties, you would go and they would make like fresh pufferkis, which is like these little like pancake things. And you get like a big plate of them, and it was like it was the best part.
We didn't have this any sounds pufferkis, really sad. Unfortunately,
we'd have like Wotsits and Skips.
Yeah, a lot of Wotsits. And like little cones of little paper cones of water.
I'm so sad for you guys.
Oh yeah. They didn't trust you with a cup.
Nah, they were like, give this guy a paper cone.
Yeah.
We don't trust them. Give him a paperful way of holding water, because that always works out. It was a really sad.
Very sad.
It's
very
one of the saddest shopping centres in Glasgow, right?
You'd have like a really limp like ham sandwich.
Yeah. And like cheese that's like just so hard.
Yeah.
It's the hardest cheese sandwich you've ever had in your life.
It would feel like the meal had travelled a long way to get to you.
I don't know where they make those boxes.
Do they still make? I've never ever seen something like that. Well, I wasn't a child.
Go to a museum cafeteria, Mickey, and you will see one of these things.
I've just remembered this. I used to have like soft play birthday parties, and we'd have to buy the boxes and then make them up before the party. I just remembered putting them all together, and then you'd hand them out, and
you were doing this as a child.
I remember doing it with my.
They shouldn't have
what
let
a,
you
what a
do
clever
that.
Way to just like cut down on, you know.
Yeah, and like I felt
labor.
Like it was part of the debt, part of my birthday. Mm. You know, exciting. Yeah, I'm in the kitchen. I'm prepping.
First, you have to work. You have to work to earn your birthday meal, and then it's really terrible as well.
Yeah,
that makes
really
me so
bleak.
Sad to hear that. Sienna.
Guys, this is all very tragic. I don't know where the story is going, but this is, so far it's been an absolute mess.
Right. Well, it's my big cousin's birthday. They're all six. I'm five. You know, the age gap. It's finding it difficult
crazy.
To relate to these people.
Yeah.
You know, they just seem like they had a completely different take on things with that one extra year. And they were all doing this thing where they were kind of touching, do you know, on an escalator. You have the kind of rubber handles that are going around. The handles are moving, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the handles go into this kind of brush. There's a brush to keep the people out.
Yeah.
Kind of metal.
Yes.
It's a kind of metal thing.
You should have
bottom.
Seen it before they installed the brush.
Well, that might become quite relevant, right? Because they were all touching the metal bit that housed the cogs and the gears. And I thought, you know, these guys, they're not on board with me. I'm going to prove that I'm really cool. I'm going to put my hand into the gears here.
So
I put them in past the brush, and then the whole escalator just went ka-cha-chunk, and my hand got sucked into like the gears, and I started screaming.
No way! And your hand will be so little.
It was. I mean, they're still quite small. These hands, you know, as an adult man.
This is why.
Of course, they never grew after that.
I never thought about this. I thought it was all the microwavable chicken nuggets that I ate that probably stunted my growth, or some kind of chemical in the ground where I went to school, which is quite common here.
No,
but it might have been that. And then now my finger—I don't know if you can see—my finger doesn't really, because that's the finger that went in. Don't know if this is good content for a podcast, but like you can kind of straighten it, but it just pops right back out. And it's
no way. So that's your
to be fair, that is a really good near miss, because that, it should have been so much worse.
Yeah. Well, I think what I've missed out on is my whole body getting sucked into the gears.
Yeah.
And getting all crunched up. It was just my finger. But I feel like I could have lost a hand.
Just for the listener, I'm going to try and describe Chris's little finger. Will you hold it back up?
Do it.
Okay, so picture a normal little finger. It just is a straight line. This finger gets about halfway up and then does what I describe as like an almost 90 degree shift.
Yeah.
Out to the left, and then it just again
goes right back up.
It tries to go back up again. Yeah,
it turns a corner. Yeah. Your finger.
It's an S turn.
Yeah. Is there not a skyscraper in London that's a wee bit like this, where it kind of comes out? And
is it the walkie-talkie?
I've got a kind of walkie-talkie-esque little finger.
Yeah, it's a step up. Somebody could walk up that finger.
A little pair of fingers could walk up it. Really?
Wow.
Yeah. That's the only thing.
That's good stuff.
But yeah, it's quite good because it can just pass as a normal finger, you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
But it's only when you do that, and I never do that unless I'm showing off my horrible accident as a child. But yeah, two security guards came over and grabbed me a leg each and tugged me out.
They pulled you out of it?
Yeah, which so I don't think they should have done.
No, by the legs?
Yeah. They grabbed an ankle each and just tugged on me. And then...
I find it hard to believe that one security guard couldn't yank a five-year-old out of an escalator.
Do you know what I mean? Like, why did they need two?
A petite five-year-old who is clearly smaller than the rest of the children due to their age gap.
I like to imagine one of them's got a leg and he's waiting for the other one to get there.
Shopping centre where they used to dismantle bombs.
In World War II, they used to build bombs.
Oh, they used to build bombs, so they don't know how to dismantle anything.
They don't know how. They've never heard the U2 album how to dismantle.
Neither bombs nor a child for me.
Yeah.
Brush.
But yeah, that was it, man. I just feel like because I'm a guy, I tried to be a guitar player when I was a teenager. And then I was always like, man, why is this hand like not as good as it should be, given how much practice I put in? And then I just eventually I was like, oh yeah, the finger doesn't work. You can't do loads of stuff.
You can move it like a normal finger.
You can do that, but it's got a real kind of flick to it.
Yeah.
It's got a real flick. Yeah. I think it's a superpower almost.
Why? What can you do? All you've said so far is that you can't play the guitar.
The speed with which Mickey jumped on that, like, I'm going to need more. I'm going to need more from that.
I don't think a superpower has to be useful.
If you're going to have a positive outlook on this, we want an explanation.
Yeah.
I consider it to be a superpower, and I'm not going to extrapolate on that at all.
Fair enough.
That's because you... You can't. There's nothing there.
Well, now I try it. This one's actually better at that thing. I was going to do a cool thing where I kind of flick it, but this one's actually really, it's
worse. Even the one thing that you said that it could do, you're like, my other better hand can do
it
better.
Well, you can, yeah.
So that would be better if this never happened.
Absolute disaster of a superpower.
Yeah, it was.
Did anyone press the big red button on the escalator?
Yeah, I think that was pretty. I think everybody was kind of looking at the children, going, "Do you know? I think something's going to happen here, and I'm going to get to press that red button."
That 5-year-old. looks up to no good.
I'm gonna get to have a go.
One of those child's gonna injure themselves pretty soon, and I'm gonna be the one that gets to go.
That littlest one is not gonna understand the boundaries.
Maybe an adult whispered in my ear, "Why don't you put your hand in there? Maybe you can get to face the big
one." One of those security guards wanted to yank your legs.
Don't you think the rest of these kids are being a bit wimpy about this whole situation? They're all stopping at the brushes. Have you considered showing them all up?
Yes, I would. I'm up for that. And then I got my finger all.
Did this change anything, like, in your behaviour after that happened? Do you think, like, you were less, or did you feel like you needed to prove yourself more after that?
I honestly sometimes wonder. I'm a bit of a, I kind of grew up a wee bit of a scaredy cat, a Jesse biscuit, as they say up here. I've always been a bit of a Jesse biscuit.
What's the, do you know the origins of Jesse biscuit?
Yeah, what's the origin
just of that?
Jesse?
Like, Jesse from Team
Jesse.
Rocket.
Yeah.
So Jesse.
What a reference.
Like Jesse and James from Team Rocket, not Jesse James, the famous outlaw. I don't know, my gran used to call me. My gran had a load of strange names for me. A Jesse Biscuit.
Gran used to call you a wimp.
Yeah.
Oh my god! What the hell?
Is that not what grans do? I thought that was what grans do.
That's so funny.
She used to. I always thought this was like a Scottish expression. My gran used to call me a rat's monkey face.
Is this the same gran?
Yeah, yeah.
What's happening?
She didn't like Christopher.
Well, say I was being mischievous in a room. If my gran came in, she would go, "Hey, you rat's monkey face." And I thought this was like an expression or like from a cartoon that my gran had seen. But I googled it recently.
Gran had seen. This is like your kid interpretation of like, where could people have gotten this from?
Yeah. Where did people get information from?
She's been probably watching Tom cartoons again.
But you googled it.
I googled rat's monkey face with the. Do you know how to Google stuff where it's just the exact phrase?
Yeah, yeah.
Where you put the speech quotes around it, and then that's just in that order. Yeah. Have you never heard of this, Sarah?
No, this is going to change my life.
This Sarah's is going to change
you. You can also do a minus and then say like minus this, and then it will take out the word that you don't want it to find.
But why would you do that? Well, just don't put the word in.
No, you want the results for something, but you don't want, say you wanted to find people who had been called Jesse and James but weren't in Pokemon, you could Google in inverted minus commas Jesse James minus Pokemon, and then you wouldn't get any Pokemon results.
And everyone's known Pokemon this results the whole time.
Hmm? Well, we've known this, Lucas.
Lucas, did you?
I had no idea. Oh, I didn't know you could do I didn't know you could do equations in the Google search bar.
This is amazing.
I got taught this in my computing class in primary school. One of the teachers sat us down and said, "Get on Ask Jeeves and use these codes."
They told you in primary, so this has been around for a long time.
I'd already had my finger sucked into an escalator at this point, but I hadn't.
Yeah, so they felt sorry for you. They were like, "We've got to cheer him up with some Google stuff."
Give him the codes. Give him the codes.
I think I googled this.
What?
I think I googled how can you get results without.
Oh, for God's sake. Do you know what? You might not have a foot fetish, but you're still a pervert.
If you're Googling search engine.
Googling about Google.
Yeah. How else do you find out anything?
Oh, just wait until somebody tells you. Just wait.
So I googled Rhett's monkey face.
Yeah.
In inverted commas, and nobody's ever said that. So she's came up with it based on my face, I guess.
Is she still alive? Can we have a discussion?
Yeah, but she's not really in a state to be.
Oh, damn it!
Fielding questions, not to bring everybody down.
She's in a PR storm at the moment.
She's, you know, her manager said that she's not taking any questions about stuff like that at this point, which is fair enough.
Well, give her our love.
Will do.
I don't know. This grandma doesn't sound like she understood the assignment. That's what you're supposed to do as a grandma.
Give Grandmas are there to toughen you up.
British grandmas are very different. They're very different.
Grandmas are there to show you what life's going to be like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grandma's jobs are to keep the self-esteem low.
Yeah.
I think so. What's a Dutch granny like, Mickey?
Listen, mine were very nice.
What's a Dutch granny called?
Oma.
Oh.
Oma nice. And Opa for granddad. And I honestly, they were so nice. But I had one who was like, she was really sweet and like grandma-like, but she was very candid. So she told you a lot of stuff that probably she shouldn't tell you. Like
hard truths.
Like she would be like, oh, your grandfather, he was always up for it. She'd be like.
Up for what?
Sex.
Oh, okay.
And it was like,
he was always really up for going to the cinema, you know?
Also,
no,
that's
she was
mad.
Very candid about her life.
That can't have been prompted by you as a child.
Do you know what I mean?
He's not like, you're like, hey, Oma, how's the sex life?
No, she was just, she was reminiscing about, she just went through this whole phase where she was just kind of going through her life and she wasn't really, I don't think she was too concerned by who was around.
Yeah.
So she would just like, she would just, whatever phase she was on, she'd just be like, you know, the thing was, and then she'd just say the thing that was on her mind. Like she would be like, she'd be like, you know, I loved your grandfather. But the guy I really loved, and then she would talk about like this boy that she was in love with when she was 16. She
that's where
married,
you get that
he was
from.
A Protestant.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I get my joke about not really loving Patrick.
That was your grandma's near miss.
That was my grandma. His name was Peter. I've heard so much about him. He was a Protestant.
No way.
That was a big no-no.
My granny was a Catholic and my granddad was a Protestant. And because they were a mixed marriage, their family de-owned them, disowned them for like 40 years. Wow. And then eventually they went, who cares? Got back together.
Yeah. They were like, but, actually, I think it's the same.
I think we're actually 14. Really worshipping the same God here. And there's just some details about transubstantiation that we're not really clicking with, but I don't think that's enough. Like, they have, like, elephant gods over there, do you know what I mean? They have all kinds of gods over there. We all love God and
we
Jesus.
All love the same God, and just because they want to have, like, a little snack, you know.
Just because you want to enter some kind of blood promise to drink blood and eat flesh. Okay, now I think about it, that is a bit of a deciding factor for me. I'm not really on board with the Catholic flesh consumption.
To be fair, it's not a bad reason to disinvite somebody from a family party, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, if it was anyone other than God, if you were like, oh, Aunt Janice wants to drink the blood of Craig and eat his flesh, you'd be like, she's not coming to my birthday party.
If I had an uncle who pretended when he was eating bread and drinking wine, when he pretended that was the blood and flesh of like Dale Winton, I would be like, well, I don't really want to hang out with you.
He freaks us out. He really freaks us out.
It's like, I love Dale Winton's body. I love Dale Winton's blood. I'd be like, you're actually not my favourite family member.
Do you think this is what happened with that actor who was who had like cannibalistic fantasies?
Which one?
You know the.
There was that Armand Hammer.
Armie Hammer
is a rapper. Armie Hammer's the cannibal, and then Armie there was Hammer's the guy the who was in The Flash. He was eating people as well, wasn't he?
What?
I don't think I've ever seen The Flash.
Oh, maybe he was just shouting at people in Hawaii. That's different.
But maybe when Armie Hammer was like, I want to eat your flesh, he was just having like a religious experience.
He thought that teenager was God.
He was like, hey.
Yeah. We should invite him back.
Shout out
Bring
to
him
Armie
back.
Hammer.
We should apologize to Armie Hammer.
This is really a podcast where we try to uncancel.
He's just very devout, actually.
He's one of the most pious people I've ever met in my life.
I'm so pious.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Honestly. What else do we talk about in this podcast, Sarah? I've lost the plot.
Well, we've done crushed balls, we've done jeers, and we
the consumption of flesh.
We do the sliding doors question. That's what happens next.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Sliding Doors, which is a film I've never seen, but I feel like
and don't watch it.
No.
Is it bad? Don't.
It's really
such
bad.
A good premise.
Yeah.
And it's badly executed.
The VHS was in the video cabinet in my mum and dad's house, in my house growing up. I remember it being in there next to Hellraiser and Hellraiser 2.
You had someone bought this movie?
My family, the MacArthur Boyds.
I owned the DVD at one point.
You had the DVD?
Yeah. Oh. Sliding Doors.
What?
This was the VHS for me. This was before we got the DVD player from Safeway.
Lucas, do you know what we mean when we say VHS? Lucas.
Yes, no, I know what a VHS is. To be fair, I didn't have either of those.
Lucas
things.
Is so young.
I know what a VHS is. I've seen the filter on Instagram.
I picked one up in a thrift shop last week, yes, I know what it is. It was very hip.
It is.
They were cool.
VHSs on the shelf.
I would say my sliding doors moment was probably when I dropped out of university. I think I was studying journalism. I wanted to be a music critic, and then
you couldn't play the guitar.
Because I couldn't play the guitar. I was like, all you bastards have pinkies that work and you're still not making good music. What's wrong with the vaccines?
Every review is too much pinky stuff for me.
Too much guitar. Widdly widdlies. Which is a fair criticism of a lot of guitar.
Very
music.
Cool, though. You wanted to be a music critic. That's a really cool idea. I mean, it's probably like a bad career move, but it's a cool idea.
What do you mean?
I mean, how much money can you make as a music critic? Do you know?
How much money can you make as a stand-up comedian?
Well, Sarah, please tell us.
I did genuinely have a moment when I was trying. This was where I was like, basically, I had a crisis where I went, I don't want to be a journalist. I don't because I kept wanting to write funny articles.
Yeah.
And like lie. I couldn't be asked interviewing people. So for a lot of my articles, I would just make up people and they would just say stuff that I thought would be good for the article.
So you were just writing fiction on a journalism course.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And it was quite boring fiction because I wanted it to be believable. So I'd be like, this guy's upset about the fireworks because his dog can't sleep. And then they would go, do you have, like, proof that you've interviewed somebody? And I'd be like, nah, I just listened really well. But it was, like, it was a man I'd made up who was upset about fireworks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
So I was really...
I believed it.
Thanks.
What a way to cheat.
To commit fraud. So I dropped out. But then I went, no, wait, I do want to be a music journalist. So I went into a college course, having dropped out of a university course. But then I dropped out of that as well once I started doing stand-up because I was like, right, so if you want to write funny stuff, you can just write comedy and then perform it.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think...
always think that whenever I think about like my life and it's like, if you knew what you knew now, what would you make out of this? It's like, I would just start because I would just be like, oh, you can just do this. Like,
I had no idea you could just do stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody tells you you can just do.
In fact, for most of
do.
The start of your life, people just tell you you can't do stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't put your finger in there, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah.
That's what the brushes are for.
Look at you now.
Look at me now.
Fingers everywhere.
9 good fingers and 1 bad finger, and they are all
finger
over
in
the place.
Thriving. 9 fingers in 9 different holes, screaming, "This is my life!
This is my life, and I'll live it how I want.
I can do whatever I want."
Did you say 9 fingers in 9 different holes?
Yeah.
That's so dirty.
Well, it doesn't have to be. It could be a mouse hole, couldn't it? Or
could be very clean holes.
Yeah, it could be the
holes. This conversation?
It could be the holes of Swiss cheese.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That feels pervy as well.
To have your holes in
just
all the
guy and like all the fingers in like the Swiss holes.
That one little finger sitting the whole thing out. Not
which is quite
you.
Posh, actually, to hold your one little finger up.
The finger thing always upset me because I used to be a metalhead. I still am to an extent, but I used to have the long hair and the denim jacket with all the patches on it and stuff. And you can't really. It's a kind of shite. That's as straight as it goes. Yeah. So one of his horn was a wee bit lopsided.
Poor metalhead.
Poor devil. Sometimes I wonder, what would have happened if... Because I have some friends who are now from university and college who are now actual journalists, and they are music critics and they are interviewing people, and I think, what would have happened if I'd kind of stuck in? But I don't think I'd be very good at it.
Well, you were making up all your interviews.
Yeah,
people would just have been like, who are these bands?
You'd have sucked
Christopher MacArthur board, he's got his finger on the pulse, his tiny fucked up finger on the music board. He's finding all these people that no one's heard of before.
His tiny
fucked up finger on the pulse. Wow, that makes me feel really good.
That's the superpower that you never discovered.
There it is.
I can really get on some weird pulses when my other nine fingers are finger fucking bits of Swiss cheese. My little malform maggot finger is like just sucking up the pulse.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Do you think you would have liked it though in the end? Do you think you would have enjoyed being a music critic?
So I ended up kind of pretending I was. Like, I would email bands and I would say, I'm a journalist and I'm real. And I got to interview some cool people.
I'm a journalist and I'm real. And people are like, this guy sounds real.
We've had an email from a real journalist. No, seriously, this one's legit now.
Well, that was the impression I was trying to give is what I was
right.
And yeah, I would get there and I could see the disappointment in their face when they realised I was actually,
not even writing anything down.
Just
don't
like,
worry.
I'm probably going to make up most of this.
I listen well.
This is when I stopped making stuff up and I was like interviewing, like, trying to think. There was really just bands that were cool in like 2011, I guess. So,
Ed, is there anyone we would know?
Do you know Sharon Van Etten?
Never. No. Is that a woman?
I do know that name.
Yeah, she's a woman. She's good. She collaborated with people. She's cool.
I'm Googling it. Sharon.
No, don't Google it.
Van Etten.
She's all right. She was lovely. Perfume Genius.
I have heard of them as well.
Yeah.
Sharon looks great.
She's so cool. I think you'd like her, Sarah. Very sad, maudlin stuff.
I think she's gay. I think she's gay. I mean...
Perfume Genius, he's gay.
Oh, I just Googled her, there was a thing that was like, who's her partner? And then it was a woman's name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's quite based on a lot of evidence.
Yeah. No, it's not a stab in the dark.
I literally thought you looked at her face and were like, gay.
No, I do that sometimes, but not today.
You do that all the time.
I do it all the
time.
Your,
that's your catchphrase.
That's gay.
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 That's really cool, though. So you just blagged your way into those interviews?
Yeah.
Where
did it go? I just done it for a while and then I started doing stand-up and I was like, it's a bit of a conflict of interest to be an artist and not that I consider myself an artist, but to be an artist and then to also be reviewing artists, I feel like this is going to come back and bite me in the bum at some point. So I just thought, fuck that, I'll just focus on one thing.
How do you feel about critics yourself then, having been a critic? when you get critiqued, how do you feel about that?
Well, it's, yeah, it's a kind of a double-edged sword in that, A, I understand that a lot of someone's enjoyment of a performance is based on the mood that they brought into the room. You know, sometimes you're just in a bad mood and then
yeah,
you go.
A lot of people have been in a bad mood for me, yeah.
So I kind of see, I mean, most journalists are quite lazy. If you give them the PR, that's how the French works, isn't it? You give people PR and then they go, oh, well, I'll just take you at face value on that.
Mm.
So I mean, quite lazy critics. So if you tell them something, they will repeat that in the review probably.
I do think that a lot.
You think
I do
that a
feel
lot.
Like... I do feel like that there's just like we've gone through like a whole time where people are just saying in their show literally the thing that they want you to think, and then like the review will just say that exact thing, and I'm like, yeah, that's because they told you. What?
Yeah, and they have to do like a fucking 100,000 shows a day, so they're not really bringing their A game.
They can't be like analysing it in an actual sort of critical way when they've just when it's all blurred into one and they're just trying to remember what they've seen. Yeah. It's that's why it annoys me when they literally will put like the punchline of a joke in it and you're like, you are just
yeah,
proving
but like
that you were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just proof that you stayed awake for the whole thing.
Yeah. There are good ones, but doing it made me realize, yeah, you know, and you really need to be like an expert on something to reviewing, and then looking back at the reviews, I go, I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about there. Mm. I really didn't know what I was talking about. I was just making stuff up. I don't think it's the job for me, basically.
Which is the tricky thing about like comedy reviewers. A large percentage of comedy reviewers in Edinburgh, especially the smaller publications, are students.
Mm.
You get all these arts reviews. My friend did it when she was at university. She came and reviewed for Broadway Baby or something like that. She was like 19. It's like, what the fuck do you know?
Yeah.
What understanding do you have of art at the age of 19? You're critiquing like work that's been carefully and like put together by people who've lived lives. And you're like,
no offense to 19-year-olds, because my summer some of them holiday. Are class, but most 19-year-olds are fucking idiots.
Most of them.
Well, I just look back on when I was 19 and I'm like, I know, that was so stupid.
I didn't have an authority to speak
on. I did
on
such stupid shit.
Stuff.
Like,
you do stupid shit now.
Yeah. No. Sarah, no.
You do.
Since the last time you've seen me, I've really turned things around.
In the last 6 days.
Yeah, it's all going very well now, actually.
That's good.
I just
really
remember
good.
A Kurt Vonnegut quote when he was like a novelist and he was saying, oh, reviewing a novel or reviewing a piece of art is like attacking a ice cream sundae wearing steel plate armour. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're really so easy to be mean.
Yeah.
You have no vulnerability whatsoever and you're just going in on someone's dream.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
An
true,
ice cream
yeah.
sundae with steel plate armor. That's great. Mm. That's great because I also like the idea that we're all just ice cream sundaes.
I'm just an ice cream
just
sundae.
Delicious, but so weak.
Yeah. One summer's day away from falling apart.
Stuck in my head.
Yeah, 100%. Not even a day, just like 5 minutes.
Oh.
Well, thank you so much, Christopher MacArthur Boyd.
Thanks for having me on.
Do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a new special out called Oh No with 800-pound Gorilla Media. That came out a wee while ago. That'll be on YouTube. When does this come out, I should say?
Next week.
Tuesday.
On Tuesday? This next wee minute, I'll check my diary because there's some stuff that I'm not supposed to talk about next Tuesday. Okay. Yeah, I've got a new special out. Oh No, my first special. It's about peeing myself during lockdown. just one
Why
day
is it
just
called Oh No?
Because I'm not a pervert. And then I have my own podcast called Enjoy an Album with Lee Withnail, where I kind of have resumed my music criticism career.
Wow.
As an adult, and realize that there's no point asking if something's good or bad. You just have to go, did I enjoy it? It's the most important question.
Fab.
So yeah, we listen to a new album every week. And Liam Withnail was a really funny comedian.
Yes.
So fucking check that out, please.
Great.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing.
I'm gigging with Liam this weekend.
I can't believe you said I had a wee fucked up finger. That's crazy, Mickey. But thank you so much for having me.
Delight to have you. Absolutely amazing. Thanks very much, Christopher.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Wave goodbye with that fuck. Bye.
Bye.
I'll see you later.
That was
Christopher McAvoy. Yeah, very good,
good
stuff. Really,
music
aft.
Critic to the stars.
Music critic to the lesbians.
To the lesbians, yay!
Very nice stuff. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate
thank you
guys it very
so
much.
Please join us on Patreon.
Patreon, you coward.
That's where we're gonna keep this party going.
Yeah.
Other than that, does anyone have anything to plug?
No, just my mailing list again. I'm going to keep plugging that until the tour is on sale, which is sooner than you all think.
Why is that a threat?
I'm coming to get you.
I'm coming to your town.
Well, I don't... when this comes out, I will have recorded my special, so I'm either going to be elated or sad.
Oh, great.
Depending on how... then I will just I will start bothering you very soon with preview dates, but I'm gonna give you one episode of respite.
Do not relax though.
Do not relax. Sign up to Sarah's mailing list and wait for my preview date.
And when you sign up to the mailing list, you are signing your life away, let me tell you that.
Oh yes, sorry, yes. That should be very clear. Lucas?
I have a preview on March 9th. Yes. It's available. Tickets are up and ready to buy. Some people have bought tickets, which is
March
nice.
March 9th.
Yeah. So keep, wow. Come to that.
March 9th. Right. I'm going to look that right now whether I'm free. Yeah. It's my last day of my Soho Theatre run. Shit.
Aww. Everybody's got... And
I'll pull it.
Where am I? Everyone's looking at their calendars. Let's see what I've got on. I'm in Bristol.
Ooh.
Well, let's go to Patreon.
Let's go to Patreon.
Let's do this right. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And you'll hear us next time.
Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck for That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth. It was produced by Lucas Jeffcoat with music from Ben Cavanaugh.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.